One minute after the judgment, one of our lawyers started screaming, "The judgment's effective immediately, you can get married."
The latest statistics are that 89 licenses have been granted in the Greater Toronto Area. I know just from people calling me that they've been granted all over Ontario.
We were giddy, absolutely exhilarated with happiness.
We never thought that this day would come, and it would come so soon, and yet here we are.
The genie's out of the bottle. The writing's on the wall. This is over.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Ontario's landmark marriage ruling launches a Canadian wedding rush. U.S. Anglicans greet their first nominated non-celibate openly gay bishop. And Tutu and John Paul are at odds again over queer couples. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 14th, 2003. June weddings are busting out all over Canada as a ruling by the Ontario Court of Appeals this week made gay and lesbian marriages legal. Technically, the decision actually strikes down the one-man, one-woman restriction in Canadian federal law, and Justice Minister Martin Cochon has said he will announce in the coming week whether to appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada, although he has until the end of June to do so. Like the divisional court decision under review and recent appellate rulings in Quebec and British Columbia, Ontario's highest court found that denying marriage licenses to same-gender couples violates Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Unlike those earlier rulings, the latest Ontario decision did not include a suspension to give the federal parliament a chance to act. It ordered the province to immediately register legally the 2001 church weddings of a gay and a lesbian couple. Kevin Bourassa and Joe Varnell and Anne and Elaine Vautour married in a double ceremony in Toronto's congregation of the gay-affirming Metropolitan Community Church. Through the Christian tradition of publishing the banns of marriage, their church weddings would have been automatically recognized as legal had they been heterosexual couples, and this week's ruling actually legalizes their unions retroactively as of their wedding date. That backdating serves to make them the world's first gay and lesbian couples to be married under laws governing heterosexual marriage, since their weddings preceded same-gender marriages in the Netherlands and Belgium.
The court also ruled for seven other same-gender couples who'd been denied marriage licenses in Toronto, and the city responded by announcing that it would issue licenses to all gay and lesbian couples meeting the same basic qualifications as heterosexual ones. One plaintiff couple, marriage activists Michael Leshner and Michael Stark, obtained a license that day and were the first in Toronto, in fact the first in North America, to be legally married by a judge. By the end of the next day, more than a score of other same-gender couples had applied for licenses in Toronto, and 89 by the end of the week, while still more kept the Toronto City Clerk's office phones ringing off the hook. The city of Ottawa also issued its first marriage license to a lesbian couple this week. At the moment, Ontario is the only province where gay and lesbian couples can be sure of obtaining marriage licenses and legal registration of their marriages at this time. But there is no residency requirement there, so couples from all over Canada can do so, and many are planning for it.
In fact, couples from outside Canada can also marry in Ontario, although there's no guarantee that Canadian gay and lesbian marriages will be recognized elsewhere as Canadian heterosexual marriages are. Already this week, British, Cayman Island, and Chinese couples obtained licenses in Toronto. Border crossing marriages will definitely stir up the continuing U.S. controversy over recognition of same-gender couples. While experts are still sorting out the Canadian situation's legal implications for the U.S., some have cautioned that U.S. gays and lesbians with foreign partners should not dash to Ontario just yet in hopes of solving their immigration problems.
Canada's legislators remain split on full equal marriage rights for same-gender couples. The parliamentary committee charged with making recommendations to the government after holding hearings across the country on the issue this week responded to the Ontario decision by declaring with a 9-8 vote that the government should not appeal. There's division in the cabinet, where the ruling Liberal Party has concerns for how the issue will play out in its upcoming leadership change and anticipated federal elections. The Liberals' leader in the Commons this week utilized a rarely used parliamentary rule to adjourn the session a week ahead of schedule, leaving numerous bills in limbo, including openly gay MP Sven Robinson's move to add sexual orientation to the hate crimes bill, but also ensuring an empty house when the government announces its decision whether to appeal.
Not that even a decision by the Supreme Court of Canada will necessarily resolve all conflict. That was amply demonstrated this week in British Columbia, where the Surrey School Board has decided once again to keep three books featuring gay and lesbian families out of elementary school classrooms. Canada's High Court struck down the Surrey book ban in December because the school board's original 1997 rejection of the books was based primarily on religious concerns. Now the board is claiming the books fail its standards for grammar and inconsistent spelling in the case of Asha's Mums, for referring to dieting in the case of Belinda's Bouquet, and for making fun of skin colors in the case of One Dad, Two Dads, Brown Dad, Blue Dad, which was also cited for possibly raising questions about sexual orientation that kindergartners couldn't handle. None of the books deals with sex at all. The book's champion, openly gay teacher James Chamberlain, who hoped they would teach tolerance, claims that none of the books currently allowed in Surrey classrooms meet the standards the board is applying. He may test that by bringing forward books about heterosexual families to see if they receive equal scrutiny, but he hasn't yet decided whether to return to the courts.
With church blessings of same-gender couples in a Canadian diocese still making tidal waves in the worldwide Anglican Communion, a U.S. diocese this week became the first in that nation to select an openly gay man to be its next bishop. But New Hampshire nominee Gene Robinson also lives openly with his partner of 13 years, Mark Andrew, while church law requires that clergy can only be sexually active within heterosexual marriage. This sets him apart from Britain's openly gay Anglican bishop-to-be, Geoffrey John, who has long been and vowed to remain celibate, but is still the target of intense criticism and calls for resignation. Robinson was previously a finalist candidate for bishop in liberal dioceses in New York and New Jersey, but he's long been based in New Hampshire and is widely known and very popular there. Robinson's ascension will need to be confirmed by a majority of other U.S. Anglican dioceses, and that's expected to be highly controversial at the denomination's U.S. National General Convention next month. South Carolina Anglican leaders have already formally objected.
Yet one of the world's most famous Anglicans, retired South African Archbishop and Nobel laureate Desmond Tutu, renewed his call for legal marriage for gay and lesbian couples. Speaking at a Massachusetts church as his daughter was ordained a deacon, he said, "I believe when you have a monogamous, committed couple, we should certainly uphold that and support them."
At the other end of the spectrum is Roman Catholic Pope John Paul II, who twice this week blasted the notion of recognizing gay and lesbian partnerships. First, he called on a crowd of 100,000 in Croatia to actively oppose efforts to extend legal recognition to same-gender couples, insisting that's necessary to preserve what he called God's authentic plan for the stable and faithful union of a man and a woman. That sermon was reportedly his longest and strongest attack yet on same-gender couples. Back at the Vatican, he followed up with an address to European bishops in which he labeled gay and lesbian and other unmarried couples as erroneous alternatives and referred to a mentality encouraging lifestyles unworthy of humans.
A leading gay activist couple in Mexico were beaten to death with a hammer in their Nogales home late last month. Jorge Luis Armenta Pinuelas was both a candidate for city council and president of Sonora's Colectivo Lesbico Gay. His partner was Ramon Armando Gutierrez Enriquez. Police are investigating.
In Israel, a Palestinian suicide bombing of a city bus that killed 16 and wounded more than 100 delayed Jerusalem's second Pride Parade for a week. Jerusalem Open House, the city's lesbian, gay, and trans center, and the organizer of its Pride celebration, is in the heart of the city, so the bombing was quite close to it and occurred on streets bedecked with rainbow flags. The blast is not believed to be related to the six-day Pride observance known as Love Without Borders, which had launched with jubilation a week before. But after the bombing, JOH Executive Director Haggai Elad said, "We cannot joyfully parade in the heart of Jerusalem while funerals are taking place, including those of neighbors and friends. Postponing the parade by a week is the only course of action we can take now, an expression of human sensitivity towards the city we live in."
And finally, congratulations are due to three veteran activists of the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group, who were honored for their work by Queen Elizabeth on her birthday list. Nick Toonan and Richard Hale were awarded Medals of the Order of Australia, while Rodney Croom was advanced to the next rung up, becoming a member of the Order of Australia.
They say that advocating and agitating for LGBTI rights is a legitimate, important, and honourable thing to do. The message I want you to take away from the fact that we received our awards is that if you've ever felt the need to wave a placard, write a letter, speak out or take a stand, don't hold back. Get out there and do it now.
All three were involved in an epic struggle to repeal Tasmania's sodomy law that went beyond their state to Australia's highest court and even to the United Nations in a precedent-setting human rights complaint. Once that law was finally repealed, Tasmania moved quickly towards legal equality for gays and lesbians and is now debating recognizing their partnerships, including full adoption rights. As Croom told the Sydney Star-Observer, "In 15 years, we have gone from being banned and jailed to being honored." Hale added with a laugh, "The radicals will be challenged because we are receiving such a mainstream award. The conservatives will be challenged by the recipients." Poignantly, Toonan now lives in New Zealand because his Filipino partner can't yet immigrate to Australia.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending June 14th, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
A quick program note, the next part of Josie Catoggio's conversation with openly gay actor, author, father B.D. Wong, scheduled for this week, has been postponed for extended coverage of the extraordinary events taking place in Canada right now. Same-gender couples in Ontario have apparently crossed the final frontier in the struggle for the full legal recognition of their relationships. The Ontario Court of Appeal ruled on June 10th that it was unconstitutional to deny marriage equality to lesbian and gay partners and ordered the government to begin issuing them marriage licenses immediately. That prompted a virtual stampede to city clerks' offices across the province and a multitude of sudden same-gender weddings. The court's decision is only enforceable in Ontario, leaving queer couples in other provinces in something of a legal limbo. But even couples from outside of Canada are planning quick trips to what one wag has already called the potential Las Vegas North. And as Heather Kitching reports, it's almost certainly the beginning of the end of Canada's ban on same-gender marriage.
Tuesday, we were down at the Court of Appeal office waiting for our lawyers to pick up the judgment.
Michael Leshner and his partner Michael Stark are one of nine same-sex couples in Ontario who sued the Canadian government for the right to marry.
A clerk stood at the desk and
Martha McCarthy is Michael's lawyer.
Ripped open the envelope and flipped to the back page to see what the remedy was.
And about 1 minute after the judgment, one of our lawyers started screaming, "The judgment's effective immediately, you can get married." And then I started singing for the press, "Ding dong, get me to the church on time, and I'm getting married in the morning."
The remedy simply said at the end, "The city clerk shall start issuing licenses immediately, today." Then the scene was of yelling and crying and hugging, and, you know, everybody kissed everybody else of the 40 of us who were there.
On June 10th, the Ontario Court of Appeal ruled that Canada's ban on same-sex marriage violates queers' constitutional rights to equality based on sexual orientation. The court went on to say that discriminating against queers in marriage cannot be justified by the government and ordered Canada to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples immediately. The Ontario Court of Appeal is the fourth court in three provinces to issue a ruling in favor of same-sex marriage, but it's the first court to tell queers that they can marry right now. And at 2:30 on June 10th, Canada's first civil marriage between a same-sex couple took place. The winners of the proverbial queer race to the altar were Michael Leshner and Michael Stark. They had applied for a marriage license in 1999, but the response to their request was placed on hold while the City of Toronto went to court to find out if same-sex couples could marry. When they went back to City Hall on June 10th, their license was there waiting for them. Then, Leshner, who was a Crown attorney in Toronto, arranged for a high-profile judge he knew to marry him and his partner that afternoon. He says that notwithstanding the dozens of camera crews and media surrounding them, the moment could not have been more special.
We were giddy, absolutely elated, exhilarated with happiness. We had people in the courthouse, from janitors to judges, watching us, knowing that this was so too many years in the making, and it was wonderful just the moment, having janitors and cleaning staff and judges and Michael and I and my 90-year-old mother and a Superior Court justice all acting as one. It was the perfect wedding.
It was brief.
Lawyer Martha McCarthy attended the ceremony.
Very familiar sounding in terms of, do you repeat after me, I, Michael, take you, Michael, to be my lawfully wedded spouse. But there's such power in the moment, both in hearing the words that are so familiar and in knowing that this is, you know, such a historic moment. It was really fantastic.
We're just so filled with gratitude that we were allowed, after so many years of the personal struggle and the frustrations and the tears and the anger, to be the first ones to represent what we had been fighting for too many years in a long, lonely struggle. We are happily, happily married. We're going into our 23rd year. If you're gay and in love and you want to get married, come to Ontario.
Ontario has no citizenship or residency requirement governing who can marry in the province. Any couple who wishes to obtain a marriage license from the Toronto City Clerk's office must send at least one member of the couple to apply in person and must show ID proving they are 18 years or older. The cost of the license is $110 Canadian. If either member of the couple has been previously married outside of Canada, they should contact the City Clerk's office for information on the detailed documentation that must be provided with the application. And one other thing you should know if you're planning to marry in Ontario, the court changed Canada's marriage law to remove references to opposite-sex couples, but Canada's divorce law has not been changed. So if you marry in Canada, at least for now, it really is till death do you part.
You know, it seems the more we talk, This is Mark Tewksbury, Olympic champion and proud board member of Montreal 2006. You're listening to This Way Out, International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
While couples throughout Ontario have been celebrating their victory at the Ontario Court of Appeal and rushing off to get married, some queers in the other provinces wondered what the decision means for them. In Canada, the federal government decides who can marry, so technically, if the court says same-sex couples can marry, they can marry right across Canada. But the decision came from an Ontario court that has no power over other provinces, causing some people to question whether they can marry. And then on June 11th, Ralph Klein, the premier of Alberta, announced that if anyone tried to get his province to accept same-sex marriage, he'd use the constitutional notwithstanding clause.
Ralph's a bit silly. As premier of Alberta, he has said he'll use the constitutional notwithstanding clause.
John Fisher is the director of advocacy for EGAL, Canada's national queer rights lobby.
The notwithstanding clause does allow any government in Canada to essentially opt out of our Charter of Rights and pass a law and ensure that that law has effect, notwithstanding the Charter, or overrides the Charter. That said, it's all somewhat irrelevant because in Canada, marriage is a federal issue, and Ralph Klein is premier of a province, and as a provincial premier, he has no jurisdiction over who can get married and who can't. So whatever the federal government decides, it will have effect across the country, and there's nothing that Ralph Klein or any other premier can do to stop that.
As for whether the Ontario court's decision has an effect across the country, attorney Douglas Elliott, who represented the Metropolitan Community Church in the case, offers this explanation.
The Ontario Court of Appeal is the highest court in the province of Ontario. The only next level up is the Supreme Court of Canada. Because they're federally appointed judges and it's a court of superior jurisdiction, they have the authority to make rulings on federal law that are binding on the federal government, and they have redefined marriage under federal law effective immediately. And while they don't have the authority over citizens in provinces other than Ontario, they do have authority over the federal government. So it really is effective across the country, in my opinion.
And as for the question of whether all of the momentum in favor of same-sex marriage could be turned around by an appeal of the court's ruling or a stay of the judgment, Douglas Elliott says,
it's theoretically possible that the Supreme Court of Canada could eventually reverse this situation, but I don't think it's very likely. First of all, the federal government right now, if they want to stop this from happening, they have to apply to either the Supreme Court of Canada or the Ontario Court of Appeal for an order stopping the effect of the Ontario Court of Appeal's order. The problem in them doing that is they'd have to demonstrate that it needs to be done to prevent some kind of harm from happening. And the problem with that approach is that the Ontario Court of Appeal, like the British Columbia Court of Appeal and the Quebec Superior Court before, has said in the clearest possible terms that there is no social harm that's caused by same-sex marriage. So the federal government, I just don't think, can establish that there's a basis for stopping it. They then need to get leave to appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada, which ordinarily they would get, but it doesn't happen automatically and it takes time. Given the strong decisions, they may not get it. And even if they do get it, the Prime Minister of Canada will have retired before, he's already committed to retiring, he will have retired before the matter is actually in the Supreme Court of Canada. And the man who's likely to succeed him has already publicly committed to not proceeding with the appeal. What he had said before the Court of Appeal's decision came down, he had committed that if we won this round, that there would be no further rounds. The current administration could go ahead and try and block this and take it to the Supreme Court, but since the next Prime Minister is not going to proceed with the appeal, it's kind of pointless.
The government's own Law Reform Commission reported in last December in favor of recognizing same-sex marriage. We have four court decisions, if you count our trial decision, written by 10 judges now in total, all of which are in favor of recognizing equal marriage. The Justice Committee, which has been charged by Parliament to study the issue, has voted yesterday in favor of not appealing. We now have all these marriages that are happening. And latest statistics are that 89 licenses have been granted in the Greater Toronto Area. And I know just from people calling me that they've been granted all over Ontario. You know, the genie's out of the bottle. The writing's on the wall. This is over.
Indeed, activists across Canada now are talking about this ruling as the beginning of the end of Canada's bar on same-sex marriage, after just 3 years of legal battles. 3 years ago, lawyers predicted the journey would take 5 years or more and would certainly end up in the Supreme Court of Canada. Now that outcome seems unlikely, and the public backlash so far has been minimal. John Fisher of AGAL describes his and others' sense of wonderment at the feeling of being so close to legal cross-Canada same-sex marriage.
A lot of the response we've had from people has been celebration, of course, but coupled with disbelief. A lot of people have said, you know, I never thought I'd live to see this day. I never believed that that I'd be living in a society so soon, and it's been kind of emotional for me to be a part of it all. So if there is one message, I think it's a message of hope, both here in Canada and for our American listeners. We never thought that this day would come and would come so soon, and yet here we are. And I think that particularly as more and more couples cross the border, as there are binational couples, American Canadians who get married and return to their home states, as there are people who come here and go back, I think it will help to transform society and the public's perception of who we are. I think we will see an increased demand and pressure placed upon our legislators to recognize our marriages and to give them the same weight and effect in the U.S. that they now have in Canada. And just as we never believed we could come so far so soon here, I think that's probably true in the U.S. as well. And I have no doubt whatsoever that a day will come when in the U.S. Same-sex couples are able to marry and fully celebrate their relationships as equal as we can here now.
For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching in Vancouver.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Fensberry, Rex Walkner, William B. Kelly, John Frame, and Heather Kitching contributed program material. Thanks also to Freedom to Marry Executive Director Evan Wolfson and Lesbian and Gay Immigration Rights Task Force Legal Director Pradeep Singla. The Beach Boys performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And thanks to the Stonewall Society and Alternabid, you can now bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Just click on the This Way Out logo at alternabid.com. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 3CCC Ballarat, Victoria, KHSR Crescent City, California, WMPG Gorham, Portland, Maine, and more than 135 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we know you'll stay tuned.